Good morning. Welcome to all those joining us for Likutei Halachos, Toish Mishpat, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Prigatina, Halacha Daled, Paragraph Lamed Zayin. We're continuing on the topic of Purim, and Rav Nosson Zal speaks now about the Matzah. We started speaking about the Shkolim that were donated to the Mishkan, and now Rav Nosson Zal focuses on the Matzis HaShekel. Based on what we've been learning here, we'll understand why one of the main contributions to the Mishkan had to be a Machzis HaShekel, to show us Shekol Echot Mi'Yisrael Ein Lo Yishleimus Kiyem Al Yidei Chaveroi, that every single Jew is incomplete without their friend. Ki ikar hatikun sheyuchlalu kulam ze bo ze bi'ahava v'yachdus. Because one of the most important accomplishments is for all Jews to be joined together with love and unity. V'chol echot hu bechinas machzis ad shenichlal b'chaveroi v'chavero b'chaveroi. And therefore, every single Jew is considered a half, incomplete, until he connects with his friend and the friend with another friend, ad shenichlolim kulam beribui shinui daitam ba'achdus haposhet, until all the Jews, with all their different opinions and with all their differences, join together in oneness. Sheze yokor ma'oid etzla shemizborach. Rabbeinu Zal writes there in chapter 2 in the second half of the Kutumran, which this halach is based on, that this is very special and very precious to Hashem. Vizehu, and this is why, regarding the Machzis HaShekel, the Torah says, He'oshir lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamed. The wealthy person isn't allowed to give more, and the poor person isn't allowed to give less. Shezeo bechinas mashikosuv. This is related to the pasuk in Mishlei, which says, Hoifer nefesh ish oshroi. A wealthy person with his wealth redeems his soul. V'rosh lo yishoma gora. And the poor person doesn't hear any complaints about the fact that he can't give as much as the wealthy person or anything like that. Because regarding this particular tzedakah, the Machzis HaShekel, everyone's equal. Bechinas, and as it says in Iyov, V'loi nikar shoyo lefnei dol. The wealthy person isn't recognizable in the presence of the poor one. Both are equal regarding this mitzvah. Rashi HaKadosh points out over there, hashkolim. These psukim are mentioned specifically regarding the donations of ishkolim, which every Jew gave equally. Machzis HaShekel, half a shekel. Ha'oshir v'adal, the wealthy person and the poor person. Hainu kanal. This fits in beautifully with what we've been learning before. Ki ikar hashkolim hu liskois, because one of the main intentions of this donation, this tzedakah, is for to join everybody together, that there should be a oneness. Alkein kulam b'shove. Therefore, everybody's supposed to give the same amount. So that there shouldn't be any difference or any separation between the wealthy person and the poor person. And the wealthy person shouldn't feel arrogant and shouldn't put down the poor person in any way. Lohoyrois, to teach us, sheze ikar hatikun shel hatzdokah. This is one of the most important accomplishments of the mitzvah tzedakah, she'ikora liyois mitoimchei oraisa, where one of the most important forms of tzedakah is supporting Torah. Shehu ikar liskois li'ahavo v'yachdus. And again, the main focus is that there should be love and unity in Klal Yisrael between the Talmidei Chachamim and those who aren't Talmidei Chachamim. V'lo yisgoe ha'osher al honi. And the wealthy person shouldn't feel any arrogance or feel that they're better than the poor person. Because the most important thing is to become part of that simple, pure oneness of Hashem. And it's impossible for a Jew to really become part of that without genuine humility and self-nullification, bechinas ahava v'achdus, and love for everyone and unity, shekol echod yevatel atzmai legabi, that each and every person should be willing to nullify themselves to the other person. I'm not separate, we're one. V'zeh romaz lahem ba'ashkolim, and this Hashem hinted to them regarding this mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, Shetzivo Sheyitnu Kulam Beshoveh, where Hashem commanded that everyone should give equally, He'osheloyarbe Vadaloyamit, Bechinas Veloynikar Shoyelef. The wealthy person wasn't recognized at all as being different than the poor person. Bechinas Varosh Loishamagora. The poor person didn't hear any complaint. No negativity towards the poor person. To show shavim. This is to show us that everyone is equal before Hashem. Yesh, and every single Jew has a portion in putting up the Mishkan. Nizgala, and this is an example of a revelation of that oneness from within the diversity, shenichlol in yachad, all of these pulos mishtanais, all of Klal Yisrael joining together, and one contributes gold, one gives silver, one gives wool, one gives wood, each one different, and all contributing towards one cause, all oneness, like we mentioned the previous year, that pasuk v'hoyo hamishkan ephod, v'alkein, and that's why be'emes. The truth is, Bishar Nidvois HaMishkan, when it came to other donating to the Mishkan, besides this Machzis HaShekel, Nosnu Kol Echad Kefi Birkas Hashem. Each person gave according to how much Hashem blessed them, Ukefi Nidbas Liboy, and according to the generosity of their heart. There were no boundaries. There was no specified amount. The Moshe Pirush Rashi Shem, as Rashi HaKodesh points out over there in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, Sholosh Trumos Nemrukan, that the word Truma is mentioned three times. Ach b'hashkolim hizirom shiitnu kulam b'shoveh. However, when it came to donating that machzis hashekel, there everyone was supposed to give equally. Kedei shemizeh yilmedu v'yavinu ho'ashirim remozen liatzman, so that the wealthy people would receive a special message for themselves. Shelo yizgol lo'olam b'matnas yodom afilu kishenoisnim harbein, that they shouldn't feel arrogant at all with their donation, even when they're giving big amounts. The wealthy people need to understand and realize that Hashem has the ability to put up the Mishkan just from the poor people's contributions, the same way as he can from the wealthy people. Because all wealth and honor belongs to Hashem, and Hashem has the ability at any point in time to make one person wealthy and another person poor. Chas v'shalom. This next statement is very powerful. Rav Nosson Zal says, and most definitely, a person who has real religious intelligence, Roy Loy Lohoven, should realize and understand Shaloy Yizgoer, not to be arrogant. Afilu Ho'oysher Hanoysen Stoka Harbil, even a wealthy person who gives a lot of tzedakah to support real Talmid Chachamim shouldn't be arrogant. Adarabba, just the opposite. Roy Loy Lehizbayesh Ulehizbatel Moy. That person, this wealthy person who's giving this huge amount of money, should feel embarrassed and feel like nothing in a sense. Why? Mihu ki zochel azeh. Who am I that Hashem has given me this incredible privilege? Shenosam Hashem Yisborach Hashirus Kozeh, that Hashem has given me this wealth. Shezoicha lahachzik ha-Talmidei Chachamim, that I have the privilege of supporting Talmidei Chachamim. And after giving all of that money, I'm still left with a lot of money for my own family, for my own household. Because in the vast majority of cases, a person isn't even giving half of his wealth to tzedakah. Whereas the poor person, shehu ish kosher kemoisai, who's at least as religious and good as the religious as the wealthy person, val pi haroiv yoisamimenu, and in many cases the poor person is more religious than the one who's giving him the money, and by the poor person, ein bebeisai lechem v'simla. Unfortunately, they're lacking in his house is lacking in food and lacking in clothing. And this poor person doesn't have the privilege of supporting Talmidei Chachamim with his money. And therefore, so therefore, how can the wealthy person feel arrogant about the money, the wealth that Hashem gave him, where after giving his tzedakah, he's left with a lot of money, and in addition, he gets to support Talmidei Chachamim, and by doing that, he's zoche to have an eternal fund. The money that a person gives to tzedakah, that's their savings account. And all of this Hashem hinted to Klal Yisrael through the mitzvah of the Shkolim, Shetzivo Sheitnu Kulon B'Shaveh, where Hashem commanded that everyone should donate equally, L'Hoyrois, to teach us and show us. Kemoi Sheho Adonim Shemekayim HaMishkon Nasu Al-Yedei Nidvas HaShkolim Shenasnu Kulon B'Shaveh, that just like the Adonim, those metal pieces that supported the boards, the kroshim of the Mishkan, when it came to that, it was purchased through the donations which everybody gave equally. That's what the Machtzis HaShekel was used for especially. If Hashem would have wanted, he could have had the entire Mishkan and all the kelim in it be accomplished by everyone donating equally. However, in addition, Hashem wants to help each and every person according to their status, according to their value, based on how Hashem has allocated for that person their portion. So besides the Machzis HaShekel, Hashem allowed people to donate separate donations of each person according to what they can afford, according to what they want to give. Aval atem ho'ashirim, al tisgo. However, you wealthy people, don't feel arrogant. Because it's all from Hashem. It's not your money. Who gave you the money? As Dovid HaMelech says in Divrei HaYomim, Hashem, everything we have is from you, and it's from your hands that we're giving, that we're donating. Ki ikar hatzdoko lahachzik ha-talmidei chachamim hamoilidin halachos. Because again, one of the highest forms of tzedakah is to support talmidei chachamim who are generating new halachos, who are learning new Torah and learning with hizkachos all the time. Shezel bechinas hakomas hamishkan. This is the concept of putting up the Mishkan. She'oiskim hatzadikim bechinas Moshe bechol dor vador, which the great tzadikim, who are like Moshe Rabbeinu, are involved in each and every single generation in building the Mishkan. Sheho ikar hu ahava uklalis, of which one of the most important requirements is that there should be love, there should be a joining together of Klal Yisrael. Shaydeze mezgala achdus haposhut, and through this is accomplished and revealed this concept of achdus haposhut, this pure oneness coming from all kinds of diversity. Any questions?
I guess does that when what's the limit of diversity?
The limit of diversity is going out of the bounds of the Torah. In other words, the Torah says that there is an aspect of Ohavei Hashem Sinura, that those that love Hashem hate evil. When we talk about evil, we're talking about evil actions. Evil actions. That the pasuk says, "Yitamu chatoim." We want the sins to come to an end. We're not necessarily the sinners. There are rare exceptions. The leaders, the leadership of the Sitra Achra, people who are leading the battle against Torah, against religion, that kind of thing, there we don't necessarily, or people who are practicing a fake, a false kind of Judaism, reform, that kind of thing, there we're not looking to be partners with them in that item. We're not looking to say share and share alike. We have the Kotel Maravi. The Kotel is for everybody. Orthodox, Reform, conservative. If women want to wear talesim and tefillin and read the Torah at the Kotel, what's wrong with it? The answer is it's wrong. It's a pritzus. It's something that's very wrong. And we're not looking to encourage that. And for example, we don't say that unity means men and women praying, sitting together or joining together in prayer. There's boundaries according to the Torah. There are boundaries. But again, to be able to study Torah well and follow the guidance of authentic leaders of Klal Yisrael, to be able to know where the unity and where the separation. Question that I was anticipating, that when we said everybody is equal before Hashem, yet tzaddikim are not the same level as others. They're different before Hashem. The answer is both items are true. There's an incredible famous incident that happened by Rabbeinu Zal, the last Rosh Hashanah of his life, which was in a certain sense the climax of Rabbeinu Zal's life, of Rabbeinu Zal's career. And Rabbeinu Zal had told his students for years that the most important time to be with him is for Rosh Hashanah, and that there's nothing more important than that. Tremendous, tremendous emphasis on that. And then one of his closest, greatest students, who was Reb Aaron Zal, who was the Rav of the city of Breslov. And Rabbeinu Zal said incredible, great things about this Reb Aaron. Rabbeinu Zal said that when Mashiach comes, I'm going to bring Mashiach on a tray to Reb Aaron Zal. And Rabbeinu Zal testified about him that Reb Aaron Zal went to his wedding completely pure, without any Pegama bris, chas v'shalom, and other great things about him. However, that last Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal was not in the city of Breslov. The other seven Rosh Hashanahs before that, when Rabbeinu Zal was in Breslov, Reb Aaron, who was the Rav of the city, would daven in the city shul part of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, and then he would come to be with Rabbeinu Zal. I don't remember whether it was Musaf or Shacharis that he joined with the kibbutz. He went to Rabbeinu Zal. But now that Rabbeinu Zal left Breslov, that final Rosh Hashanah was in Uman, which by car is about an hour and a half drive. So by horse and buggy, it could have been a day's travel or more. So Reb Aaron Zal came to Rabbeinu Zal before Rosh Hashanah, a few days before, and said, "What do I do? What do I do? I have an obligation. I'm the Rav of the city, and I'm expected to be there for Rosh Hashanah. And at the same time, you've taught us how important it is to be with you." So Rabbeinu Zal said, "You're right. It's the most important thing to be with me, but also you have an obligation as the Rav of the city." And they went back and forth, back and forth. And then Rabbeinu Zal said to him, "You have to go back. You have to go to be with the city." And on his way back, he met Rav Nosson Zal and Rav Naftali Zal, who were on their way to Uman. And they met him and they said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "The Rebbe told me to leave. The Rebbe told me to go back to Breslov." And they said, I don't know if they said this to him or they said this among themselves, that if Rabbeinu Zal would chase us away with gigantic metal rods, we wouldn't leave him. We wouldn't leave him for Rosh Hashanah. And then during Rosh Hashanah, or right before Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal made a statement that there were two people that were absent from that Rosh Hashanah, Arala and Berala. His student, Reb Aaron Zal, who was the Rav of the city of Breslov, who was a super giant Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, and one of Rabbeinu Zal's very simple students, Beryl, Reb Doiv, a certain simple student. And it's known in Breslov that he put these two together in that manner to show us that regarding Rosh Hashanah, when people come for Rosh Hashanah, there, everybody stands in the presence of Hashem, in the presence of the tzaddik, as one unity. There's a certain unity. Reb Nachman Tcherin, who was one of the greatest giants in Breslov, a descendant, he was a grandson of Reb Aaron Zal, and he was the Rav of the city of Tcherin, and he did incredible things. When he would come to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, if people would approach him as a rabbi, he would say, "I'm sorry, I left the rabbi in Turin. Here, I'm one of the boys. I'm with everybody." That kind of thing. So now, question: does this mean if I'm in Uman for Rosh Hashanah and there's a rabbi there, I don't have to call him rabbi? I can say, "Hey, Reb Simcha, how are you?" Or Chaim Yukel, how are you? Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. It means that there's a certain concept of unity and equality standing before Hashem in that manner, in that manner. Just like the Torahs. In the Torahs, there were spices that were put together. 10 of them were sweet-smelling spices. Chelbana had a very foul smell. And yet they were putting, the Torahs had to be all of these 11 together, that kind of thing. So there's a certain understanding of both of these concepts.
As you always say with Korach, that was his issue,
Yes.
thinking we're all equal.
We know that Korach, who led an opposition, a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, his outstanding motto was Ki kol ho'edo kulon kedoshim. Everyone, all Jews are holy. Umadua tisnasu al Hashem. Why are you, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, holding yourself bigger than the whole beautiful community here? Now Rav Nosson Zal takes us into Purim, and once again, this is an incredible gift from Hashem, from Rav Nosson Zal, that we're learning this less than a week before Purim. Today is Wednesday. The first day of Purim, regular Purim, will be on Tuesday next week in Yitzhak Shem, and Shushan Purim, celebrated in Yerushalayim, certain other places, will be on Wednesday. V'zeh paragraph Lamed Ches, v'zeh bechinas Purim, shehu mechias Amolek. Purim is a special time of wiping out Amolek. Ki Amolek poigen b'chol hanal, because Amalek is the opposite, the antithesis of everything we've been learning in this halacha. Ukemavur el bizeh, as Reb Nosson Zal touched on this previously in paragraph 27. Ki reishis goyim Amalek. The Torah calls Amalek the leader of all these 70 nations. Shehu b'chinas kofel. He is the opposite of Emunah. He's an atheist. Pegam v'haschola. And he's trying to mess up and to damage the beginning, the leadership. He's trying to convince the Jewish people as if Hashem has never helped us. Because when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt and the Egyptians and the whole world was in awe and had tremendous respect and fear and awe for the Jewish people, Amalek was the first one to come to try to challenge that. And he used his evil to stand up to oppose the Jewish nation. Whereby Hashem performed such incredible miracles for us when we left Egypt. At Shehuchras Paroi Lahoidois Ki Hashem Hatzadik, to the point where Paroi was forced to admit that Hashem is the Tzadik, Ve'ger Shem in Mitzrayim, and he chased the Jews out of Egypt. Va'amolek who as ponim kozeh, and Amolek has such a level of chutzpah, of brazenness, v'yotza kenegdam, and he went out to challenge the Jewish people at that time. Rashi ksoiv basefer, as Rashi HaKadosh points out on that pasuk at the end of Beshalach, which we read on the, in the morning of Purim, Moshol Ambati Roiseches, that the Jewish people at that time could be compared to a boiling hot bath that no one would dare to go into. And Amalek said, I'm going to jump in, even though I'm going to get burned in the process, I'll cool it off for the next person. Because he is a denier of Hashem and of the greatness of the Jewish people from beginning to end. He's in denial of the miracles and the wonders that Hashem does for us all the time. And he's the opposite of all the different tikkunim that we've been discussing throughout this whole halacha. Shemizgare umizgaper shaloyizgalachashon achdus haposhet mitoch pulas mishtanas. He makes every effort, does everything possible to see to it that the diversity should not join together with the oneness. V'hu oirev al kol Yisrael tamid. He's always challenging Klal Yisrael. V'hu ikar mezgaber chas v'shalom be'eis ha'golus v'hatzora. And the worst times that we suffer from this klipa of Amalek is when we're in exile or when there's any type of crisis. She'oz roitzel ahatel kfirois balev. Then Amalek wants to try to inject denial into our hearts that we should deny that Hashem has done miracles for us in the past. We should deny the eternity of the Jewish people. And to make people feel as if Hashem has never really helped us. And this explains why Haman, who is a descendant of Amalek, Haman rose to power and rose to try to destroy the Jewish people when we were all the way at the end of the 70-year exile in Babel. She'omar Haman said, "Me'ach hashekvar hisgaber Nebuchadnezzar ve'hechrav es habeis hamikdash she'omad," that once we see that it was possible for a king, Nebuchadnezzar, to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, which had been standing for hundreds of years, ve'hikles Yisrael me'atzam, and he was able to drive the Jewish people out of their land, shuv ein lohem tikva lo shel Hashem. There's no hope in the Jewish people being able to return to their land. V'alkein hisgaber hu v'zaroi hatomei levatel binyan beis hamikdash. And this is why Haman rose up, him and his evil children, to try to block and make sure that the Jews would not be able to rebuild the beis hamikdash. Ki omar, because he said, she'ofes tikva Yisrael Hashem. There's no hope for them. They're hopeless. And this is why in Megillas Esther tells us that Haman said to Achashverosh, Yeshnoi am echod, v'dorsh Rabbi Semzal, and the Medrash says, Elokeihem yoshenu, their Hashem is asleep. Dahainu shelo yeshiyot chashon liyisrael. He's not going to help the Jews anymore. Kilu yoshen, he's sleeping. V'zeo, and this is also why Haman used those words, Mefuzor u'mefoirod bein ha'amim, that the Jewish people are disunited. They're spread out among all the nations. V'doseihem shoinois mikolam, and their laws are different from all the other nations. She'omar, look at the words that Haman is using. Shehem mefuzorim u'mefoirodim bein ha'amim, that we are separated and spread out, dispersed among all the nations. He's stressing the diversity, that we're all different, we're all separated and different. Bechinas pizur upirud bein ha'amim. And he's saying that the Jews now are assimilated. They're among all the other nations. Shenaflu ledeyos hashivim amim, implying that the Jewish people have fallen into the lifestyle and following the opinions and the ideas of the 70 nations. Shekol ze hepech klolis apulois mishtana poshut. All of this is the exact opposite of the diversity being joined together and united in oneness. Vesehu vidoseim shoinois. And this is why Haman used these words specifically. Their laws, their ideology is different. Sheomar shedas Yisrael bebechinas his gabrus hashinuyim vapizur vapirut hashom. He was trying to imply that our religion is all about separating, separate, different, apart, spread out. He kofar bedas Yisrael HaKodesh. He denied the real holy ideology of the Torah. Shekol das Torah Seinu HaKdosha, shalidei das Torah Seinu HaKdosha, nichlolim bechod haposhut, whereby the entire focus of our religion and our Torah is about everybody, all of the differences joining together and connecting to the oneness. Alidei kol mitzvah u mitzvah, through each and every mitzvah that we perform. Validei kol ois v'dibur shel haTorah, and through each and every single letter and word of the Torah. Ki oiraisa Yisroel v'kutche Baruch Hu kul achad. One of the most famous statements in the Zohar Kodesh is that the Torah, Hashem, and the Jewish people are all one. V'homon rotzalav v'chakaroch hasvishon, and Homon wanted to turn this upside down. V'omar shehakol behefech, and he said it's all the opposite. Dosei, our Torah is shoinois, and we are mefuzer mefayrot. And therefore, based on this, Haman wanted to try to wipe out and murder all the Jews. Because Haman represents what Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in the beginning of that chapter in the Likutei Moharan, that when a woman is pregnant and when she's coming towards the end of the pregnancy and the blood is gathering inside of her, racing towards the heart, just like when a country is being attacked and everybody runs to the leader, to the king, to the leadership to see what to do. So Haman represents this tigboires of the bad blood, shemishom sitra demoisa. That's where the sitra achra is connected. Shenimshach michet eitz hadas toivara, which originates from the sin of the eitz hadas. K'mashom Rabbi says, like the Gemara tells us in Chulin, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where is Haman's connection to the Torah? Shenemar hamin hoeitz. When Hashem said to Adam and Chava, "Did you eat from the type of tree that I told you not to?" The word hamin is Haman. Sheoz nigzar misa. That's when Hashem decreed death upon the world. And therefore, Haman was, that's his connection, the Eitz Hadas, which brought death to the world. He wanted to use his powers to bring death to the Jewish people. And this challenge, this crisis, this problem exists in every generation and by each and every individual person. Kosov, as it says over there in at the end of Parshas Beshalach, Melchomol Hashem b'Amolek midor dor, that the battle of Hashem against Amolek continues in each and every generation. Shemizgaber al kol odom b'choleis b'chol mini tachbulois, that this power called Haman tries to challenge every person all the time with all kinds of tricks. Lahapiloi chasashon, to knock us down. Ki hu hamesis, hu hamastin. Because as the Gemara says, the same one who tries to convince us to commit sins is the same one who ends up testifying against us. Ki betchilo mesis odom lamashim masisoi. Because at first, The Yetzirah, the forces of evil, try to convince a person to do all the bad things that they try to convince us to do. V'achakach, and then afterwards they go and prosecute against us. Hashem, causing us to be struck with problems and suffering. V'hu bi'atzmoi shemachlish umaval v'leiv odom shelo yitzoik v'yischanin l'Hashem yisborach. And this same power, this same evil inclination, this same homer amolek, when the person's going through the crisis, tries to convince us not to pray. Who you can't pray? You've done so many terrible things. Try to weaken our hearts and confuse us that we shouldn't cry out to Hashem. Because he tries to convince the person that it's hopeless. And he tries to get the person to forget all of the miracles and wonders that Hashem did for our forefathers. And with each and every individual person. V'hatikun l'kol zeh, and the antidote to all of this, the solution to all of this, u'bechinas Mordechai, is the aspect of Mordechai, shehu bechinas hatzadik ho'emes. Mordechai is an example of the true tzaddik. Bechinas mor deror, the Gemara says, we find Mordechai in the Chumash when it speaks about the spices that were used for the ktoiras, for the shemen amishcha. It says mor deror, and the Targum says more dachya, Mordechai. Shehu besomim roish shel shemen amishcha. That was the most important spice of the shemen amishcha that was used in the holy oil that was used to anoint all the kelim in the Mishkan, sheboi nimshach kol hamishkan v'kela v'aron hakohen banav. It's with that super holy oil that the entire Mishkan and all the kelim in it, and Aharon hakohen and all of his sons were anointed with that special shemen hamishka. Shekol avodasam b'mishkan u'b'beis hamikdash. Whereby the whole focus in the Mishkan and in the Beis Hamikdash was to take all of the diversity and plug it into the oneness, as we discussed throughout this halacha. In the Mishkan, you had every kind of diversity. You had all 39 acts of work going on there, and you had all of these different components. Kishon Iker Hizgala Silakus, because the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash were the place of the greatest revelation of Hashem. Kamashakosov, Vinoyadati Shamola B'nei Yisrael. I will meet over there the Jewish people. V'Iker Kiddushas HaMishkan V'Kelov Nimshach Mishemen HaMishcha. And the essence of the holiness of the Mishkan and everything in it came from that special oil, Shehu Reach Toiv Dikdusha, which had a very holy aroma. Hanimshach Mikidusha Govoya Ma'oid Ma'oid, which comes from an incredible high level of holiness, Sheyesh Loikoyach Lekadishes Kol HaMishkan V'Kelo, whereby by placing this oil on the Mishkan and on the Mizbeach and on the Menorah and all the different things, that's what gave it its incredible holiness and sanctity. To elevate all of these things from being ordinary to becoming very holy. And the real holiness is all about becoming part of that pure oneness. Sheshom kol shoyre shel kol hakedushos. That's the ultimate source of all holiness. Nimtza sheshemen hamishcha she'asa Moshe hayoloi koyach niflo kazois lehalois kol hamishkan v'kelov shenase mizohav v'chesef unechoshes utcheles v'argamon shehoye boi ribui shinuyim v'gavnin harbe sheyesh b'kesef v'zohav. That the the Moshe Rabbeinu had this incredible power to elevate the Mishkan and all of its components, which were made from every different type of component. You had a tremendous amount of diversity there, which shem klal kol chemda, and all of those things represent all of the materialistic things in the world that people desire. Bifrat chemdas mamon, especially the basic desire for money. Shehu bechinas his gabrus hadamim hanal, which is related to what Rabbeinu Zal speaks about again there in the Likutei Moharan, about the bloods rushing, coming together. The word damim means blood, and the word damim also means money. The Hizgabrus Adamim refers to, again, the Hizgabrus of Taivas Momoin, of people being challenged in this world about the Yetzer Hara, trying to convince everybody that life is all about money, money, money. And the Mishkan, which was made from all of this diversity, Hoyotikun al Kolzeh, was a tikkun for all of this, was the antidote to all of this. V'chol kiddushasoi nimshach halidei shemen hamishcha, and the entire holiness of the Mishkan was from that special oil. Sheboi niskatshu hamishkan v'kelav, that's what sanctified the Mishkan and all its kelim, v'hela hakoil, and elevated everything. Kol hagvonim v'hashinuyim harabim, all of that diversity, sheyu nichlolim be'echad haposhut, that it should become part of the ultimate oneness of Hashem. Shesham kol hakedushos, which is the source of all holiness. And that's what empowered the Mishkan to be able to bring about a forgiveness for all the sins of the Jewish people, to purify us from all types of impurity. And all sins, all taivas rois and midos rois, are all part of that denial of Hashem, that kfira, hanimshochem mebechinas pirud, which comes from separation. Shemafridin chas v'shalom hapulos mishtanos, when we separate all of that diversity, when we don't allow it to join together. Ki ikar hatikun alidei bechinas reach toiv. Because the main solution to all this and the main tikkun comes from a good, positive smell, aroma. Shehu chiyus haneshama, which the Gemara tells us, that's the life energy of the neshama, of the soul, is the smell, the reyach. The Gemara says on the pasuk, koil haneshama tahalal ko, that the soul gives praise to Hashem. So the Gemara says, what item is there that the soul is benefiting from and not the body? That's smell. That's the power of smell. So that's the most spiritual of all the senses. That's the only one that wasn't participating in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. If you look over there, you'll see she saw, she tasted, she touched, she took. All the other senses, she listened to the snake. All four other senses were involved. Smell was not included, and therefore smell retained its incredible level of holiness. Shehu bechinas shemen hamishcha, and this is that special oil, shenase betikunim nisgavim kele, which was put together with tremendous holiness. Sheyesh loy koyach lahamshich reyach toiv, so that it has the power to be able to infuse this good aroma, this good smell, into all of those people who are far from holiness. Whereby it's impossible to revive these people and to elevate them through any other way other than smelling salts, this beautiful reyach. As we find, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim which speaks about the Jewish people who are in exile, and in exile within ourselves, in exile in all of our Taivas rois and midos rois, all of our sinful desires and sinful character traits. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, "Samchuni ba'ashishois Rapiduni batapuchim. They placed me in ashishos, and they healed me with the sweet smell of apples. Ki choilas avoni, because I am lovesick. I'm lovesick for Hashem. I'm very far from Hashem, and yet I feel a deep yearning to come close to Hashem. And how do they revive me? How do they cure me? With this sweet smell of the tapuchim. Kama Shapirish Rashi Sham, as Rashi HaKodesh points out over there in Shir HaShirin, Shehemine Rechois, that these tapuchim and these hashishas refer to things that give off a good smell. Because unfortunately, due to our many sins, Bo'itzem Chalishusenu Ato B'toikef Meiris Hagolus, in the state that we're in now, that we're so weak spiritually after being in this severe golus for over 2,000 years, Kvar nechlash koichenu kol kach, we've reached such a level of weakness, ad she'enonu margishim noyam mesikus tsuf dvash imrei noyam shel tzadikei emes, to the point where we don't feel, we can't really experience the incredible sweetness of the words of the true tzaddikim, ha-mechayin ba'amores toras kelu, who try to infuse new life into us with their holy words. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, that there are times that a person is in such a low state that kol oichel tesayev nafsham, they reject and they refuse any type of food. They can't eat anything. Ve'ein chiyusenu elo mashaonu meirichin meirochoik ma'at horeach hatoiv hakodesh v'anoira shel chidushei torasam hatosha, so that we're not able to eat their words of Torah. However, the only way that we can draw life energy and spirituality is from the smell, from smelling from the distance some of that sweet, awesome smell of their Torah. V'zeh b'chinas horeach shel shemen hamishcha, and this is the concept of that incredible smell, aroma of the shemen hamishcha, sheboi niskadesh hakol, which is what turned everything into holiness. V'nichnas michutz lifnim, and it took everything from a category of being outside holiness and bringing it into holiness. Shemishom kedushas Mordechai. That's where Mordechai HaTzadik gets his holiness, his power. Shehu machnia klipas Amalek. He is the spiritual power that does battle and defeats Amalek. Sheroitze lahatil pigam bereishis HaYeshua, who wanted to try to inject a prop a defect in the first major Yeshua that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael as a nation in taking us out of Egypt. To make it look as if the Jews haven't been, we haven't been helped at all. Look, we still have enemies. We still have to fight for our lives. Tomorrow, I hope to be going in the morning right after davening to Har HaZeisim, Mitzvah Hashem, so that the shir will be starting later. I hope we'll try our best to start the shir by 8:30, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow morning. Any questions before we close?
Rav Nosson, quick question. Based on what we've learned here in the last three dafim, I just want to summarize and ask you if I understand. People are taiva, the Yetzer Hara tries to get us with money, correct? We said that. And we just have to be sameach because however Hashem runs his world, we don't understand. Is that correct?
We have to look and identify the good things in our lives, all the positive
Right,
things in our
so
lives,
the
and all
shaila
the positive things that Hashem has done for the Jewish people throughout the generations.
is if things become corrupted or people use their money to influence Rabbanim or Din, is it true that there's courts in Shemayim, like higher levels, like that if someone, let's say someone pays a Beis Din off, Chalila, and he's a, I'm not going to say what it, okay, we're going to, then what's the point? He gets the money here, but in Shemayim, like, we can't serve
Hashem has
Hashem.
ways. Hashem has ways of settling things up in many cases. Sometimes a person has to come back to the world in order to pay back monies that they took illegally, irresponsibly. The Torah does tell us that unfortunately, one of the worst problems before Mashiach comes is going to be this Kilkul HaMishpat, that the court system is going to be very lacking, very lacking. It's going to be very difficult to find an honest judge and a qualified bezdin, a real good bezdin. We have to pray all the time. We have to pray that Hashem should resolve our issues. And if at all possible, we shouldn't have to go to court, Chas v'Shalom, and certainly not have to go to secular courts. We should be zeicher, the pasuk says, Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shaveh b'tzedakah. We should be zeicher to have a chelek in the holy mishpat, the true mishpat, and the true tzedakah. It's a shame.